Turn, please, to the book of Exodus. I would like to note with you three illustrations from the Old Testament of God's salvation. Very interestingly, and really it's touching to realize that the God of heaven so very kindly has not only given us His Word, but He's given us a picture book in His Word. I'm sure all of us can remember when little children, or if we have grandchildren, that's one of the first things they like to do when they come to visit you is bring a book. And they can understand all those pictures. My friend in the meeting tonight, if you do not have the assurance of God's salvation, God wants you to see it clearly. And when you'll see it, you'll know what it is. One time I was standing looking at one of those, what do they call those magic things, you know, that you look at and you have to, supposed to look through. You can see something. Well, I don't know, I can't see very far through it, but one time I was standing looking at one of those magic things, and there was a man and a lady standing beside me, and all of a sudden she said, "I can see it, I can see it." He says, "What do you see?" "I can't see it." "I can see it," she says, "it's right there, look it. That man fell out of the boat, there he is in the water, and they threw him a life belt." My, I hope you can see that tonight. Dear sinner in this meeting, if you've never seen it before, I hope it comes clear to you tonight that Christ is the Savior for your soul. And if you ever get to see it, you'll be able to say, "I can see it, I can see it." How will you see it? You'll see it by looking in the book. That's what God is giving to us. We're going to read these three simple illustrations from the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 13 is the first one. And verse 13. "And every firstling of an ass," a donkey, "thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, saved by a substitute." Now look in the book of Deuteronomy, please, in chapter 15. Verse 11. "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man, or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl, and thrust it through his ear, unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise." Save by a gift of freedom that was given to this slave. One last reading now in chapter 30 of the book of Deuteronomy. Verse 11 of chapter 30. Here we find a person who is saved by a word. "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea,
that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Notice the 19th verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Saved by a substitute, saved by a gift, and saved by a word. Now you've been hearing about being saved tonight, being rescued. It's a precious thing to know when one is absolutely sure, I am saved. Now can I point out to you how God illustrates salvation in these three passages here tonight? I trust in the closing part of this meeting that there is more than one precious soul in this meeting tonight. And in that language of your own heart, you're saying, I wish I was saved. I wish my soul was rescued, O God. I do not want to go to hell for my sins. How can I be saved? Now you've already heard it tonight. And what I want to do is illustrate it for you. Illustrations are like windows. And of course our best illustrations are the Word of God. We use many illustrations and they are good. But God's Word is what you can count on tonight. When God shows you, friend, He intends you to see it. And I hope that you'll be able to say tonight, I can see it. I am saved. That's what God is showing you. Now notice in the first one, we have a picture of a donkey. It's interesting to notice what God has to say in His Word about donkeys. Why would He take up a donkey and use it as an illustration to show how a person's soul can be saved eternally from righteous judgment which he deserves from a sin-hating God? My friend, tonight we are dealing with divine things. Whatever you do, don't take this subject of being saved as if it's just some ritual of teaching or some creed of a certain people that meet in the gospel hall. Friend, it's the God of heaven that you and I are dealing with. We're mighty small. We're sinful. God is great and God is holy. And if you want to enter into God's heaven, you must be saved God's way. That's what He's pointing out to you tonight, and I hope that you've grasped that truth. These young men and women sitting here in this audience tonight, mothers and fathers on the way to heaven, pray for them every day of the week, and they're not concerned about being saved, delivered from going down to the pit. I trust, friend, you who are older, the most of your life now is spent. How many years is it that you've lived in the mercy of God, not saved? Oh, may God help you to see tonight, I must be saved now. Yes, friend, we need it tonight. If you're not saved as yet, God grant that you might see, I need it now. There are many things that impress that upon us. I recall before I was saved, the thing that really impressed me and bothered me an awful lot was the promise of the Lord's second coming. He said He would come and step to the air and give the shout that will summon home to heaven all who have trusted Him as their Savior. I used to think of dying when I was a boy, but I thought I could control that. If I was very careful how I crossed the street, I was very careful how I used my bicycle, I was very careful about a lot of things, I could kind of postpone that moment. I would be careful about that. But when I thought of the Lord's coming, I knew I have no control over that. It's God that controls that, and that troubles me. If somehow or other you could just control things, wouldn't that be nice? My friend, tonight, our Lord Jesus has promised to return, and He's given to the sons of men the great golden opportunity to receive His salvation from righteous judgment which they so justly deserve, and He's offering it as a free gift, as you've heard tonight. Marvelous friend. Oh, why would you pass it up, poor sinner in this meeting, without the shelter from coming judgment, with no anchor to keep you from drifting into the eternal pit of judgment? Why will you pass up the greatness of God's salvation, which He gives and offers to you tonight? In the first one, then, in looking at this donkey, can I note with you, again I mention, why God chooses the donkey. He says three things about them in the Bible. And sometimes I speak to the children about this in Sunday school, and I've asked the children sometimes, I ask the boys, do you think girls are like donkeys? And of course they all say yes. Well, why are they like donkeys? Well, one boy said to me, they all have long faces. Well, you know, little things like that, that's what the children come up with. Of course, I like to ask the girls, do they think the boys are like donkeys? And, oh yeah, they all think they're all the boys are donkeys. Why? Because they're stubborn. Well, they're both right. Long faces and stubborn. And my dear friend in the meeting tonight, the donkey in the Bible, the book of Job, God makes an application of it to humanity. Man is like a wild ass's colt. And the word there for the in the ass, of course, is the donkey. That's what man is like. Now let me tell you why God uses that illustration for you tonight. Don't forget it, friend, it's God that says it. And when He paints the picture, He's painting a picture of you and of me. The first thing He says about it is, it's born condemned. Born condemned. That's not the donkey's fault. It's born condemned by God. My friend, tonight, when you entered into the world as a little babe, you were born a condemned sinner. You couldn't help it. It's not your fault. You were born that way. And the mighty God of heaven has made provision for you as a sinner to be saved. And if you die as you were born a condemned sinner, that'll be your fault. God is illustrating it here. A condemned donkey. Born condemned. Another thing that God says about the donkey, when He's listing the different meats that the people of Israel should eat, He says, don't eat donkey meat. And this is what He says about it. It is unclean. It's born unclean. It's unclean by divine evaluation. Now, my friend, I do not know your life, and it's not really a great question here tonight as to how you have lived. The great question is who you are. Who I am. A condemned sinner, unclean by divine standard. Now, I need not remind you that you have proven you are unclean. I've proven I'm unclean. Unclean words at times pop out, don't they, in moments of anger. Things that are unclean, things that we are ashamed of. They're in all of our histories. When we were children, they popped out, and we got lickings for them, and should have too. That's the right thing. That's what happens. It's there, and it comes out. Unclean. Friend, God is describing you. How can an unclean, condemned sinner be saved? Rescued from that condemnation. Rescued from the results of that defilement. But there's another thing that God shows us about the donkey in His Word. He says, whenever you're going to plow in a field, or whenever you're going to pull a wagon, whatever you do, don't use a donkey and an ox together. Don't put them in the same yoke. They don't pull right. Don't use them. He says, I don't want you using a donkey and an ox together. And then He tells why. Because the donkey is not subject to the yoke. He can't serve God. Can't do it. An ox, that's a clean animal. God said you can eat it. It's not condemned. It's a clean animal, but the donkey's unclean. And any person who before God is not saved cannot serve God. God says, I don't want their service. Don't put them in the yoke. I can't use them. Don't use them. My friend in the meeting tonight, here we stand. as men who were pictured by God in this donkey were condemned. Friend, it's up with us. You have no hope of entering into God's heaven because of who you are. You are a condemned sinner, and you are an unclean sinner. You who are young here tonight, these boys and girls, we love them, but they're unclean sinners. They're condemned sinners. And you who are older tonight, it's God that shows you the picture. Now, how is a condemned, unclean sinner who cannot serve God, how can he be delivered? We noticed in our reading, it's the work of a substitute. Ah, my friend in the meeting, that's amazing fact. It's the only fashion that God has prescribed, the only way that a condemned sinner can be saved is for another to take his condemnation. For another to take the place of the unclean, unworthy sinner and bear his judgment and die. The condemned donkey, he must have his neck broke. See that donkey born in the yard? Beautiful little beast. Look at him. Why, he's a good little critter. His shoulders are broad. His legs are just right. I know he can hardly stand up, the poor thing, but that's one of the first things the farm does. I've watched them do it to a horse. It's feel their legs. That's the important part of that critter, as he goes over and feels his legs. Listen, my friend, in the meeting here tonight, as God looks upon you and me, he sees us condemned by birth, unclean before God, unfit to serve him. That's a tremendous condition to be in. Friend, that's dangerous. We must be saved. And the only way we can be saved is for another to take our place. Another donkey? No. Not a donkey. God says, don't take another donkey and kill him for him. Take a lamb. Totally opposite. A lamb. A lamb doesn't kick. A lamb doesn't bite. The lamb's not stubborn. It's a totally different one. My friend, tonight, that's what God is picturing for you. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He stands apart from us. He is totally, truly human, but he is sinless. He is not like us. He was not born condemned. He was not unclean. He could serve God and always did serve God before he ever came into our world. Isn't it marvelous? Friend, tonight, will you look at Calvary? Have you ever seen it before? That the sinless Savior dies. He's bearing another's condemnation. He's standing in another's place, answerable on behalf of another. Well, do I remember the Sunday night I could say, I see it. I see it. Christ died for me. Marvelous. Saved by a substitute. That's why I know I will never be brought into judgment. That's why I know, friend, I will never die an unclean sinner before God, confined to everlasting burnings, because at Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took my place. Sinner in the meeting, that's the good news from heaven for you tonight. That's what the Bible wants you to see. Will you take a look at it in Exodus 13 and 13? Read it again, will you? Redeem it with a lamb. The lamb is taken, that gentle little animal, and its life is taken, and the donkey goes free. He doesn't have to say a prayer. He doesn't have to be baptized. He doesn't have to bleat. He doesn't have to do a thing. He doesn't even have to mimic the lamb. He's saved by the death of a substitute. Friend, that's God's way of salvation. It's a righteous way. The payment for the uncleanness is laid upon a clean one. The Lord Jesus, the sinless one. The penalty for my unclean sin was borne by the blessed Son of God. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him, my substitute. Can you see that tonight? Friend, that's the only possible means of salvation.
In fact, I'd like you to notice in each of these three that we're looking at tonight, salvation for each of them came from outside of themselves. And furthermore, it came to them instead of what they had. They had nothing to offer, and salvation was given to them. It came by the effort of another. And that's what Calvary is presenting to sinners in this world tonight. Is there a soul in this meeting? Unclean because God says you are. Condemned because God says you are. And unfit to serve Him because God says you are. And the only answer for your deliverance from that condemnation, which will be eternal if you refuse the remedy, is the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of sinners at Calvary's cross. Can I ask you, friend, what will you do with the Lord Jesus tonight? He's available to you if you will but receive Him, answering the great question that God offers to you tonight. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? A substitutionary work on behalf of unclean, condemned sinners, unfit to serve God. That's how a donkey was saved. Man could take him home, and the neighbors could look at him and say, well, you know, you're not supposed to. Yes, but he's redeemed. Friend, that's the only reason I can tell you tonight that this poor sinner, the very born the same way as you, condemned, unclean before God, I can tell you tonight, I'm bound for heaven. I will never be condemned because there was one that took my place, God's beloved Son. I ask you, friend, what will you do with the Savior of sinners who gave Himself a substitute for the guilty? In my second reading, we have a man or a woman, we read, both a man or a woman, in Deuteronomy chapter 15, and was saved by a gift. Here is one that paid the price for their freedom. They had nothing to pay themselves. Did you note that in their reading? It says they were poor. They were poor. Ah, friend, have you ever discovered that before God, with all that you've been trying to do to get peace, haven't you? You've been trying to give God satisfaction, and you know right well He's not satisfied, and neither are you. You know why? Because you were born poor. Nothing in your nature that could ever produce what would please the heart of an holy God. Poor. Nothing to offer God as a reason to keep you out of the judgment your sins deserve. Nothing. Poor. And furthermore, he's a slave. He's been sold. And that's exactly what Adam did. When he sinned in Eden, he sold you out to the devil. And friend, you're a slave tonight. There's only one way that you could be freed. Only one way that a sinner like myself could ever be set free and receive the great liberty of life instead of death. And that's for another to pay for me. And that's what my passage is showing. Here's a man, and he lays down the price. And he says to him in that seventh year, he says, you're a free man. You're free. Oh, friend, tonight, can I point you back to Calvary and ask you to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary when He, the sinless Savior, offered His life at Calvary as the great ransom. In fact, before He went to the cross, that's what He said. I give my life as a ransom for many. He paid the price in order to set you free from the kingdom of the devil, from the awful power of the wicked one. Friend, these things are real tonight. And unless you get that great Savior, you will never be delivered from the slavery of sin, from the bondage of the devil. The Lord Jesus is the only one with power and ability to save. And He offers it as a gift. Listen to the Savior as He suffers upon the tree. He cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and He gave up His spirit. He entered into death to pay the utmost price.
that you could receive the gift of eternal salvation from the bondage of sin. I ask you, friend, what will you do with the gift the Savior has purchased? He has made it available. He offers it as a free gift to sinners who are in bondage. You've tried to get rid of it. You can't break the bondage. You never shall, friend. You can only receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He breaks the bonds that bind you. He delivers the soul. He does all the work. And He has paid the price in full. Saved by a gift. Look at the slave. He says to his master, "You've been so good to me. You've paid the price in full. I don't want to go out free. I want to be yours from now on." And you know, my friend, I know exactly what that dear man felt. The Sunday night that I received the assurance that my sins were gone, my guilt was lifted, and I knew that I was saved. There was only one thing I wanted to do. Only one thing. And that was to appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died to save. Could I say to you, friend, He's worth living for and dying for. Far better master than any other master. And there's only two in the world, Christ or the devil. You serve one or the other, friend. If you're saved, you serve the Lord Jesus, and He's the best of masters. He's the greatest friend. He sticks closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't have Him, you're serving the devil, and he's a subtle rascal. He deceives. He lies. He can't tell the truth. If he told the truth, he'd condemn himself. He's a wicked foe of God and men. And when he pushes men over the brink, and they go without Christ into death and eternity, he laughs at them. What an awful, awful master. Friend, turn to Christ as a sinner tonight, that you might be delivered while you may. As I close the meeting, can I note with you, saved by a word. Just a word. And you don't have to go to heaven to get it. You don't have to go across the sea, said the Lord, to go and get it. It's right in your mouth. The precious word of God. The trustworthiness of the word of the Savior. Listen to him, friend. John chapter 5 and verse 24. He puts it right into your hand. And the question is, what will you do with his word? Listen to him. "He that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not be brought into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." That's his word. Oh, may I ask you, friend, what will you do with the word of the Lord Jesus? Dear Aaron, a young lad of 17 last summer in 10 meetings we had as we closed the meetings. Dear Aaron, we went to visit him and he was all disturbed. He said, "You know, my chum next door, he's tried to commit suicide twice now and I have to keep going and telling him not to do it." I said, "Well, what do you tell him, Aaron?" He says, "I tell him he needs to be saved. He needs to be saved." I said, "Did you tell him how to get saved?" He says, "I tried." "What did you tell him?" "Well," he said, I told him Isaiah 53 and 5. "He was wounded for our transgressions, and that the Lord Jesus on the cross died to put our sins away." And I said, "But did you tell him how he'd know he'd have it?" "Yes," he says, "I quoted John 5 and 24, which I just quoted to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not go into judgment." So I said to him, "Aaron, did you tell him that you're saved?" "No," he says, I don't know how to be sure." "Well," I says, "you told him." He says, "I did." I says, "It's right in your mouth, Aaron. You just told me." And he looked at me. He said, "That's right, isn't it? He was wounded for my transgressions." And here, he says, "I was trying to tell him and it was for me." My friend in the meeting tonight, dear Aaron, could say, "I see it. I see it. He was wounded for my transgressions, and I have his word for it." A word right in your mouth. And there are those in this meeting tonight who have repeated God's word.
And I have often thought of the awful, awful moment of a soul going into eternity with God's word right in their mouth. And yet, they never swallowed it down. Never took it personally. Never gave God credit for telling the truth that Christ is all I need, plus nothing, as a poor sinner. May God help you to see tonight. Save by a substitute. Save by a gift. And saved by the word. God help you to take it in and rejoice in Christ as your Savior tonight. Let us pray. Our God in heaven, we thank thee for the marvel of thy love and thy grace towards us. We thank thee for giving our Lord Jesus out of heaven to go to the shamefulness of Calvary on behalf of sinners like us. There are those in this audience tonight, and they are unsheltered from the coming wrath. Oh God, when salvation is so available to them, the Lord Jesus is near to them. Thy word is in their very hand. They need nothing more, and they could get nothing more. We thank thee for it. We ask thy blessing upon it tonight, thanking thee for the love that provides salvation as a free gift to poor, dying, sinful men. Thanking thee for what thou hast already done in these meetings. Looking, Lord, for those even tonight who will not go away without the blessed assurance, Christ is mine. We ask these blessings in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing a few verses, please, of number 63, hymn 63. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, happy is the soul that can say, I can see it, it was for me. I well remember that happening one time, a dear boy of 17 years of age, trying to get a hold of salvation. We'd tried to help him, just like we're trying to help you, friend. But just like you, you know what the problem was? Same as me. I had my own notions. And I kept interpreting what was being said by what I thought. And I finally found out, as dear Donnie found out, I can't get anything. And going out of the meeting, as he shook my hand, he said, Mr. Smith, he said, there's one thing I can see. I said, what's that, Donnie? He said, I can see I'm going to hell and I can't help myself. Well, I said, can you see anything in what Christ did at Calvary? I don't know, he said. He dropped his head. I can see he paid it all. I said, how can you see that? Because he said so. And my friend, tonight, that's what God is trying to put right in your mouth. He said so. And when you're willing to take what he said, you'll be able to say, I can see it. Christ is mine. We'll sing the first three verses only of this hymn 63, and the meeting is closed.